T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam! Howie Kendrick has done it! They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout! Howie Kendrick with a grand slam! Here in the 10th inning of Game 5, the Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3!
And that would be the final last night if you went to bed a little early. Didn't catch the Game 5s last night. Well, there were two of them. The Cardinals-Braves game was over in the first inning. Cardinals put up a 10 spot on the Braves in the first inning. They go on to win that one. And then the Nationals and the Dodgers, looked like the Dodgers were going to have this one. A couple of eighth inning home runs off Clayton Kershaw. And then that in the 10th inning. Howie Kendrick, who I've always, Chuck, been a fan of. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. He's always been one of my don't draft in fantasy, pick up the third week of May guys.
I feel like Howie Kendrick has been playing since the 80s.
He's been playing for a long, long time.
He's been playing since the 80s. He played on those Angels teams in the 2000s, but been around a long time. It's like, man, Howie Kendrick, year in, year out, I mean, that guy could be struggling at the plate like he was and just bust loose with a big hit. Just feel like Howie, man, he stays in shape. He's got game. And like I told you yesterday, I picked both road teams to win and both got done. And yeah, that first one, yeah. If you're up early in the morning and you want to take a nap in the afternoon, you could have because it was 10-0 at the top of the first inning. How about that? A big playoff game like that before your home team even comes to bat, you're down 10-0 sitting in the stands.
So the Cardinals, again, you can look at this day yesterday as well. That could have been the Brewers situation because the Cardinals won the Central.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Brewers had their opportunities towards the end there. Sort of, I guess you could say, ran out of steam at least. It just didn't go well in that last weekend series against the Rockies. But they lose. And then the team that wins the Central goes on, now advances to the NLCS. It's like the 13th, 14th time they've ever done it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cardinals,
keep winning.
They are no stranger to this point of the postseason. So they win, and you think, ah, dang, they could have been us. Someone who is a stranger to this point of the postseason is the Washington Nationals, who since 2012 have made the playoffs a handful of times and can't get to this point. They get to this point last night when it looked like the Dodgers were going to take this one. Walker Buehler throws 117 pitches, looks great. You piggyback him with Clayton Kershaw, but then Kershaw gives up a couple of home runs. This game goes to extra innings, and then Howie Kendrick hits a grand slam, and the Dodgers, the 106-win Dodgers, fall. So this is the team that you could have won the Central instead of, and mm-hmm. this is the team that you could have beaten the wild card game. Both of those teams now will play in the NLCS as the Braves and the Dodgers go home.
And this goes back, I hate to say I told you so, but this goes back to a caller we had last week, and this was last Monday. We're doing the show together, and somebody calls and says, Chuck, I appreciate your loyal caller. Says, Chuck, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but even if they beat Washington, they're just going to get killed by the Dodgers. And I just wanted to really go up and bang my head against the wall. Just bang my head against the wall repeatedly. I was so angry because baseball doesn't work that way. So, you know, Washington comes back and they beat Milwaukee on Tuesday night, and I'm like, oh, man. And then I still hear people say, well, Washington has no shot in this series. They're like, man, are you kidding me? And the Dodgers, once again, man, they've had terrific regular seasons, like you mentioned, and they just can't get it done. But there is no sure things. Gerrit Cole pitching for Houston tonight, okay, at home in front of the home crowd against Tampa. Tampa's rallied to make this a series now. That is not a guarantee by any means. I know Cole's going to be a heavy favorite. don't be betting the house on Garrett Cole winning that game for Houston tonight. So two road teams win a game five. Got another one tonight. These playoffs are strange, man. They're strange. But I can tell you, too, the networks, which they're always looking at the bottom line and the big markets getting there, they probably hate the fact that Los Angeles lost last night, okay? And they probably would be disenchanted if Tampa wins the series against Houston, because it would be Tampa and the Yankees. And, you know, Tampa's got no fan base down there and not much national attention. People can't even name guys on their roster. That's how bad that weekend. A couple of guys on their roster from former Brewers, but Tampa is so far under the radar, nobody cares.
Well, those games would sell out at least because there's a bunch of Tampa fans or Yankee fans in Tampa.
Transports.
And there's also a low A minor league team still in Tampa. There used to be a team called the Tampa Yankees.
Yeah.
In single A. Now I believe, I just looked it up, they're the Tampa Tarpons.
Well, the Yankees, you know, people from the East Coast, they vacation down there. They live down there. Steinbrenner, longtime Yankee owner, and the family stones the team. You know, they had residents down at Tampa. So Tampa's been a big area for New Yorkers.
Yeah, they were the Tampa Yankees from 1994 until 2017, yeah. And they must have just changed their name recently. It's in Tampa. Imagine if the Brewers were here, but then there was also a single A team called the Milwaukee Cardinals. It'd be so stupid.
It would be ridiculous.
But that's the way that it was down in Tampa. So those games would be sold out, but a lot of them would be probably Yankee fans, because even watching some of those final games in the Rays home games in that series, there were still some upper deck seats open.
But I do look at last night's game and see Washington win that game. And you look at it, and God, in a span of 8 days, they've come back down 3-1 against Josh Hader, one of the top closers in baseball, and got it done late in the game. Last night, they come back against one of the best starting pitchers in our time. I mean, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, Clayton Kershaw. His postseasons have been awful. Gives up the back-to-back home runs in the ninth inning. And then in the 10th inning, Kendrick hits the grand slam and game set and match. But I'm sure they're going to get some criticism in Los Angeles. Dave Roberts, went to Kershaw, which much like Brewer fans were criticizing Council for going to Hader in the 8th inning. And when he was struggling to get him out of there, I had no problem them going to Kershaw. And although you would think, you know, Kenley Jansen, who they didn't trust last night, he'd be the guy. But Kershaw, if you're going to beat Kershaw, you got to tip your hat to Washington.
Kershaw's actually, he's got pretty good stats coming in as a reliever, but here's a weird stat. He's got the second worst ERA of a pitcher in elimination game history. I mean, it's Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
And sure, that maybe, okay, he's been more elimination games than others because
that's the most
Dodgers
important, though.
They're good, but he's got the second worst ERA of a pitcher in elimination game history. And you go to Clayton Kershaw, and this was their plan throughout the week, was to go Buehler and then piggyback him with Kershaw. I sort of thought that maybe they would bring Kershaw in a little earlier, at least when they were setting up the game, but Walker Buehler was pitching very well. Again, he goes 117 pitches, which is longer than you typically see pitchers go these days. And then you bring Kershaw in there, and he gives up a couple of home runs, and then Joe Kelly ends up being another victim of the Nationals' bats later in the game. It's Howie Kendrick with the grand slam. I don't know what you do then. If you're the Dodgers, you've been so good, and we keep talking, oh, yeah, whoever plays the Dodgers, they're going to get smoked. Dodgers have been to the playoffs consistently in this decade. They've won the West every year since 2013.
Yeah.
They haven't won a World Series since 1988.
Yeah, yeah, when they beat the A's, and that's the old Kirk Gibson series right there when he homered off Eckersley. But, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have had really good teams. And even the teams they didn't win division titles in, I don't remember a time of the Dodgers ever being horrible, just awful. You know, they've been consistently at least mediocre to great, but they can't get it done in the postseason. They can't. I mean, they've tried a few different things offensively. They, you know, like the Brewers. The Brewers go through these deep freezes on offense. I feel like the Dodgers do the same thing. They'll put up a couple of runs early. They put up a couple of runs early like the Brewers did last week in Washington, and then the rest of the game just went completely silent.
Sorry, I went to check Twitter. At what time during when I was talking did you tweet, I am the man?
Oh, I just felt like tweeting it. I probably right before the show.
I thought you left your stuff up and somebody got to you.
No, that was me. So, you ever feel like sometimes you just want to tweet something out?
Yeah.
That's what Twitter's for, yeah.
I'm the man? Just,
I am the man.
I do want to tweet that.
I was the man today.
Luckily for me, people just tweeted about me. If you check the mentions, that I'm the man, so I don't even have to do it about myself.
Well, I mean, I could retweet all those kind of things too. I just figure I say it myself.
Hey, pays to be humble in this business.
Oh, absolutely. I've taken a different attitude on that, man. Yeah.
I can't get over this picture. You guys have seen the picture of Kershaw, right?
In the dugout?
Well, in the dugout, sitting by himself.
No, but here's what I liked: what he did. Kershaw took ownership of his bad performance. After the game, because all us media always say, and the fans say, you know, Kershaw can't get it done in the postseason. Last night, he said after the game, whatever people say about me, about my postseason play, is true. That's kind of some new breaking ground right there. Rarely do you ever hear a guy say that. I mean, they take ownerships for play, but rarely does a guy ever say, you know what, everything you say about me is true. I suck.
Yeah, I just
that's what Kershaw basically
it.
Said.
Well, how can you be so good in the play, in the regular season and then be like this in the playoffs?
He would not be tweeting, I am the man. How about that?
No, he's a pretty humble guy. I felt really bad listening to that post-game press conference last night. I just retweeted the picture to our fan page, too, because, I mean, you guys have both seen a lot of great pitching. And when you go back, let's say in like 10, 15 years, or you're telling your kids, Bart, your kid, about greatest pitchers that you've ever seen pitch in Major League Baseball history. Is Clayton Kershaw on that list because he's, to be nice, kind of a choke artist in the postseason? Or do you leave him off that list because he struggles in the postseason and he's just, you know, arguably the greatest regular season pitcher of all time? Like, I'm torn right there because you need to perform in the postseason. Like, we'll see it tonight. Gerrit Cole is pretty good in the postseason. Justin mm-hmm. Verlander, good in the postseason. Madison Bumgarner, I don't think he's ever given up a run in a World Series game.
Well, it's like saying Bobby Cox isn't a great manager, a Hall of Fame manager, when many of his teams, like the Dodgers, the Braves failed. They won the World Series in 95, but look how many times the Braves had one of the best teams in baseball, three Hall of Famers in their starting rotation, and couldn't get it done in the postseason. Yet Bobby Cox, we think, was a Hall of Fame manager for all his Braves team. Same with Clayton Kershaw. I mean, he is just unbelievable during the regular season. When he's healthy, I don't know why he can't get it done in the postseason.
I had one job to do, just get three outs, and got one out, and didn't get the other two, and they went over the fence, cost us the game right there. So it's a terrible feeling. You know, there's no excuses. Just didn't make pitches, and guy hit it over the fence twice. So.
He sounds like Yelich.
A little bit.
We hit the wrong thing.
It's that Los Angeles thing.
I thought it was Christian Yelich for a second.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw, he's still one of the guys that if the Dodgers are in town, like, there's not too many games where you go to Brewer games, watch the Brewers, but there's still some pitchers where they come into town and you think, I got to go watch that guy. Like in the NBA, you want to go to a Bucks game all the time, but when LeBron's here, well, you want to go see LeBron.
Yeah.
And Kershaw is still one of those guys as a pitcher, you still want to go see him. But then again, in the playoffs, he has struggled mightily, and it is going to be a very weird juxtaposition on his career. Our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood, had a tweet that I want to get to.
What was
here.
That word you just used?
Juxtaposition.
Not at 6:15 in the morning, my friend. Please.
J-U-X.
Don't be rolling out that UW lacrosse education here at 6:15.
Yeah, you're damn right.
No, wait, go on. J-U-X. I want to see if he could get this now.
J-U-X.
Okay. Yeah.
Jesus.
Our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood, big baseball fan. He's actually a big Mets fan from where he grew up, and we talk baseball with him sometime. But he had this tweet last night at By Ryan Wood, and we'll talk to him again tomorrow. Baseball, so good at determining the best team in the regular season, so bad at determining the best team in the postseason. On no planet this season were the Nationals better than the Dodgers, except for 1 5-game series in October. It's weird.
But they still play a 5-game series. It's not like it's one and done. I mean, you still get the best team. If you can't, if the Dodgers can't beat Washington 3 times in 5 games, I mean, it's just not like a 1-game showdown, like the wild card, like the Brewers losing to Washington. You could play that game today, and the Brewers could end up beating Washington. Washington could win that game as well as they did last week. It's not a 1-game showdown. It's a best of 5. So I think that's the beauty of baseball, though, where, yeah, anybody could win the postseason. Like, unlike any other sport, anybody could win the postseason from any seed in the baseball postseason.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on this, and really, could the Brewers have done the same thing? We'll talk to you guys about that, because as you watch these playoffs or don't watch these playoffs, if you're still heartbroken about the Brewers, it is tough, this NLCS. It could have been the Brewers on either path. The Cardinals, well, the Brewers could have won the Central and had that route. The Nationals, obviously the Brewers had a lead, a 3-1 lead, and then lost to the Nationals, who then got it done in Los Angeles. 799-1250, you can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler, AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan, everywhere on the radio.com app.
Kelly's one-strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3.
We never gave up. You know, the city had faith in us. The fans had faith in us. We believed in ourselves. You know, everybody came through for us. I mean, every guy on this roster and some guys that aren't, you know, they stepped up and did a great job.
Anybody that they bring, you know, out of their bullpen or anybody on their pitching staff, I mean, there's a reason why they won over 100 games. I mean, they're a great ball club. They could hit and then they can pitch as well. And so we just wanted to continue to stay aggressive and try to be confident. We're not going to just sit there and, you know, take it and roll over and die. So, you know, we wanted to continue to fight, and like we've been doing all year.
The Washington Nationals come back down 3-1 in this one again, as they were against the Brewers last Tuesday. And they have won the NLDS series against the Dodgers. They move on to the NLCS. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath here, and you guys, 414-799-1250. The Nationals made the playoffs in 2012. Lost to the Cardinals, didn't win the series. They made the NLDS in 2014, lost to the Giants. Made it in 2016, lost to the Dodgers. Made it in 2017, lost to the Cubs. Made it in 2019. They have never won a playoff series as the Nationals. They beat the Brewers in the wild card game, and then now they beat the Dodgers in the NLDS. They will be going to the NLCS for the first time since they were the Montreal Expos in 1981.
Yeah, but I don't count 1981. Because that was a strike season, and what happened was they won the series, but the Expos, and they beat the Phillies. The Expos and Phillies were in the same division, but the strike was in the middle of the summer, so the Phillies and Expos were both one of them won the first half of the season, one of them won the second half
like
of the season.
Like the Northwoods League does.
Yeah, and then they played each other, so that doesn't count.
I also don't count the Nationals being the Expos.
Either do I.
Because it seems weird. They moved.
Yeah, they moved. New franchise. I think when you move, it's a new franchise. When you move cities, like the Milwaukee Braves left for Atlanta. So anything the Milwaukee Braves here did here today, or did back in the 50s here, it's a new day once they moved to Atlanta.
I agree. And I didn't like, there was a time this year where the Nationals wore Expos throwbacks. And as much as I like seeing the Expos jerseys on the field again, Washington doesn't have the right to that, man. You move.
You know what's even more strange? In front of Atlanta Stadium, like in front of Miller Park, there's statues in front of Miller Park. There's a statue in front of Atlanta, the stadium in Atlanta, at least the old one, that had Warren Spahn. Warren Spahn, who was a Hall of Famer with the Milwaukee Braves, never pitched an inning in Atlanta, yet there was a statue in front of the stadium of Warren Spahn. What sense does that make? No, it's a new franchise once you move.
No, they're the new Atlanta Stadium at SunTrust Park. Remember, we were there for,
yeah,
let's just say a thing a couple of years ago.
Morning show conference.
The year that we shared a room and there were two beds and you slept on one bed, yeah, close to the window. And we left the middle bed open and I slept on the pullout couch.
Absolutely. But I think back then, the reason why we did that,
we'd still do that today.
You know what? No.
Yes.
You and I were more at odds back then.
Yeah, but
I think you and I,
we're still at the risk
of jinxing us here, I think you and I were more at odds back then.
We still need our personal space.
Yeah. And then you moved into the room where the guy left early.
Well, why wouldn't I do that? The guy moved.
Which is a good thing, yes.
Yeah, it was an open room.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm of course going to take that. But when I was there, there was a Friday night they played the Marlins, and I took a Uber to the park by myself, and I watched like four innings of the game. And then I really just walked around the stadium. I saw the huge Chick-fil-A in the stadium, which was all the rave. And then they do a great job. Imagine, you know, when you walk behind, and we're talking Atlanta here, when you walk behind Miller Park home plate, it's like the pro shop and there's concessions.
Yeah.
Atlanta's, you like walk down into this almost Hall of Fame type area.
Okay.
And they do such a nice job of recognizing their history. There's, I know there's a Wall of Fame and there's some other stuff Braves related at Miller Park, but the Milwaukee Braves sort of like display at SunTrust Park is more than you'll find anywhere in Milwaukee. Well, the way that they honor
Miller Park honors the Milwaukee Braves.
They do, but not like SunTrust Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's, and they do the same for the Boston Braves.
But see, I think with, okay, at Miller Park, they honor the Braves and Brewers, which I don't think they should do. I know the Braves were a part of the history of this town and all that, but I don't know. I mean, the Braves left here. The Braves broke a lot of hearts and they left here. And that wasn't the players' fault. That wasn't Henry Aaron's fault or Warren Spahn's, but the Braves left.
It would have been like if the Bucks would have left, let's say in 2009.
Yeah.
And then there's a new team now, and they build Fiserv Forum, and they're called the Milwaukee Hunters. And then somewhere in the corner, there's a huge tribute to Vin Baker.
Yeah.
Or Kareem.
Kareem.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, but these
it's
guys.
A different team.
See, it is. That's the way I look at it. Yeah, the Milwaukee Braves, you know, our parents and all that watched the Atlanta Braves or watched Milwaukee Braves games, but they left. They left us. They didn't want to be here anymore. They left for a great deal. They thought bigger TV market down in Atlanta. They left us. So why are we still honoring, again, the Milwaukee Braves in Miller Park? This is the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium, not the Milwaukee Braves. And if they want to honor them in Atlanta, that's fine. But I still feel, as far as I'm concerned, the Milwaukee Braves, they're extinct. They shouldn't be honored in Atlanta or Milwaukee. When the Braves move to Atlanta, that's a new year. That's a new day.
You guys need to take it a little easier on the Milwaukee Braves, in my opinion, over here. If you want to talk live and local, talking to Earl Gillespie, calling a World Series. That's my uncle.
Well, I'll tell you, your uncle, Earl Gillespie, one of the all-time great guys. Used to get Earl on once a year before he passed away. He was living down in Florida. Earl, who was later a sportscaster at Channel 6, who Jim Paschke worked for, at was just WITI back then. It wasn't Fox 6. But Earl was he did the weekday sports, and Earl was a phenomenal guy. Yeah, a good golfer, too.
We'll continue to celebrate that.
Yeah.
That's our champion.
Wasn't that called on this, on 1250? Do I have that right?
No. I mean, it wasn't 1250 yet, though. Mike Clemens actually has the full story for you. When I first started here, my first day, he was like, "What's your name?" And I told him, and he was like, "Oh, come here." And he took me outside, and he showed me the building that's across the street. That's where Earl used to work at, across the street.
It was. I mean, we weren't the fan back then.
Right.
We were
right.
playing music.
Yeah, but he did radio, a little television.
Yeah, Earl did it all.
No, we've been the fan since 1969, haven't we? Wasn't the Ice Bowl on the fan?
No.
Which would have been 1967, but...
wasn't the Miracle on Ice on the fan?
No.
Every great moment I thought of sports has ever been on the fan.
No, but I think the Braves were.
The Calderon Cup was.
The Calderon Cup was.
That's
once.
A Calderon Club, you mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Calder,
the Bill Michaels Cup. With the tuna melt.
The Calder Cup.
Yeah.
There will be some football this weekend on the fan. This is a good time to mention that Alabama and Texas A&M 2:00 Saturday, and then we've got a doubleheader on Sunday: Texans Chiefs and Cowboys Jets. So with no Packer game this weekend, we've got some NFL action for you here on The Fan.
You know, I heard a buddy of mine was talking the other day. He goes, "Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend because the Packers aren't playing until Monday. So I get to watch, I get to follow my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Get to watch the NFL ticket."
Yeah, I'm pumped too.
I'm sad. I'm sad the Packers aren't playing. So they play Monday night, but I'm sad they're not playing Sunday. I believe the Packers should be playing every Sunday. I don't like when they play on Monday football. Or Thursday nights, or whenever.
Well, you get a whole stress-free day to just watch football.
No,
just watch
that.
Touchdown after touchdown.
No. I want to see the Packers at noon on Sunday. I don't want to be waiting till Monday night to see the Packers. Yeah, I mean, after the games are done at noon and the Packers are playing, then the 3:00 games, bring them on. But I still want to see Green Bay. I want to see the Packers play on Sunday. Yeah, having to wait till Monday night. There was a time when Monday night football was big. All right, it was huge, you know, back when Howard did the games and, you know, guys after him, Gifford and all those guys. but
Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
Tony Kornheiser.
But now, my good friend Joe Tessitore doing the games doesn't have that Monday night feel.
You know what? I do agree that Monday night football, I used to just wait all day. Like, you know, you'd wake up Monday morning, you'd be at school, or you'd be at work, and you'd say, okay, I'm going to get through the day because we got Monday night football tonight. It's kind of lost a little bit of its luster.
Used to be on at 8 o'clock, ABC, and
there was a year games didn't start till like 8:25.
Oh, I know. That was brutal. I was in school at the time.
So. It was ridiculous.
Well, they moved the times around on that a little bit, but 8 o'clock, man, because the game would start at 8 o'clock, but it'd be like 9 o'clock kickoff on the East Coast. It's like, what are we doing here? But, you know, 8 o'clock kickoff, you wouldn't get out of Lambeau if you went to the game till after midnight.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan, just to update a poll that we have up on Twitter. As a Brewers fan, who are you rooting for in the NLCS? Nationals, Cardinals. 13% of you still say the Cardinals. I don't know why that would be more than 0%.
Someone has a futures bet on the Cardinals, probably.
Yeah, that has to be the only way.
God, they put up the 10 runs in the first inning, and I was just hating life.
Eric says on Twitter at 105.7 FM The Fan, if Satan and his minions were playing the St. Louis Cardinals, I'd be wearing a Beelzebub number 6 jersey this weekend. I mean, he does not. So the Cardinals are worse than Satan is where he's going with that.
I agree.
At 799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Yeah, they're a division rival. We do not want our division rivals to do well in the NFL. The division rivals are doing very well. We'll talk to Arthur Arkush about just how good this NFC North is and if it's going to be like this towards the end of the season. And speaking of Monday Night Football, what do we make of the Lions? Arthur Arkush, Pro Football Weekly, will help us with that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash, right now.
From the 105.7 FM, The Fan Sports Update Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath, first on The Fan. Last night, preseason hoops.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Bucks in action last night, some preseason activity against the Utah Jazz. Giannis, I think someone needs to tell him it is just the preseason. We'll talk about that coming up, and we'll hear from Mike Clemens in the next 15 minutes. Want to get our friend Arthur Arkush on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Arthur, beat reporter with Pro Football Weekly, covers the Bears, but is very in tune with the NFC North. We use him to talk Lions, Vikings, Bears, oh my, Packers as well, of course. And the NFC North, a very good division right now. Packers at 4-1, Lions at 2-1-1. The Vikings are 3-2, and the Bears are 3-2 as we bring in Arthur Arkush. It's the first time, Chuck, since 2012 that a division has had all of their teams over 500 at this point in the season.
All these teams look like they're pretty good. Are they all pretty good in this division, or they have some of these teams like the Vikings beating up on bad teams?
No, I mean, I think the Vikings are legit. We had a good look at them, obviously, up close and personal at Soldier Field a couple Sundays ago, and that was not a proud day for Kirk Cousins and that offensive line, obviously, especially the way the Bears were playing shorthanded and still kind of dominated them. But you saw them get well. Yes, it was against the Vikings, but it was on the road, and I think more importantly, it was using a script that's meant to be for 2019 in the NFL. You got to throw the football. Cousins was able to get the monkey off his back a little bit and get those guys involved, Adam Thielen and others. So, you know, as long as they have that defense, as long as they're remotely healthy, I imagine the Vikings are there to at least stick around in this thing. The Bears, I realize, coming off just a stunning loss in London, and probably no one more stunned than myself. But it's one game, and it was in London, so we'll see. Would they like to be better than 3-2 at the break in this muddled pack around the NFL? Of course, but how they come out of the bye with the Saints and Chargers coming to town in back-to-back weeks before that trip to Philly is going to determine the season, and frankly, we knew that even going into it before the 3-2 start. I think they just kind of removed their margin for error a little bit. And then, of course, Monday night, we'll find out if the Lions are for real. I think it's pretty obvious the Packers are. I am growing increasingly impressed by the week with what Matt LaFleur and those guys are doing. Also impressed with Matt Patricia, but now I want to see. They've already played some tough teams, but normally if the Lions are there to stick around, they're going to play well against the Packers. So really anxious to see this one.
Talking with Arthur Arkish, you can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish, Bears beat reporter, Pro Football Weekly, also managing editor there. I want to put you on the spot and have you rank the quarterbacks in this division, and then if you can rank the defenses in this division, because I think those are the two things that are going to separate whoever wins this thing from everybody else.
Sure. I mean, the quarterbacks, I think, is probably a little bit easier. Of course, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and then I think it has to be Matt Stafford. And I think right now it probably has to be Kirk Cousins. I mean, the Bears don't even have a healthy starter right now, unless we're counting Chase Daniel, and that would make the decision even easier with him bringing in the rear. So, yeah, I think the Bears are in last when it comes to the quarterback.
Would you put Trubisky over Kirk? Do you put Trubisky over him?
I mean, right now, I think it'd pretty much be a coin flip. Guys, Mitch has regressed so far this season. That's the story in Chicago, and it's troubling. I mean, with Matt Nagy and year two of Matt Nagy's offense, to not see the strides early on in the soft part of the schedule by Mitch is troubling. And there were signs going back to training camp that this could be an issue. So it's all in front of him, but he's running out of time to prove that he's the guy here. He's got to prove that by the end of year three, no question about it. So, yeah, I think based off what we've seen thus far, I think maybe I would put Kirk just slightly ahead of Mitch, even if he's a little bit more limited overall. As far as the defenses go, I think the Bears are still the best. And that's not taking anything away from what Mike Pettine and those guys are doing there in Green Bay. It's been impressive. But I don't think it's been quite as consistent. In fact, I mean, I'm kind of a guy, I like sample sizes, and I think the Vikings probably get a slight edge over the Packers here still defensively as well. But that doesn't mean the Packers' arrow isn't going up. And I think they're probably third. I think Detroit's right there too. Guys, I think what we're getting to is, as you mentioned at the top, it's the best division in football, and it's darn good. This thing is going to have four teams that are competing, I would imagine, down to the wire this season.
You know, the Detroit Lions have always been a running joke, and they put this on themselves. The coaching changes and forever. Now, I think when we looked at the teams in this division were going to be good, we thought Green Bay, we thought Chicago, we thought Minnesota, but nobody really gave Detroit much respect. Why did we overlook Detroit? Because obviously the Lions are a pretty good team.
Yeah, well, I think in large part we overlooked them because of what you said, because of their history. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do. When you have that to go off, things weren't real pretty for Matt Patricia and his maiden voyage there in Motown, obviously. They did make some strides in the second half of the season, but you just heard these kind of rumblings about how, his prickly relationship with the media, and are his players all in, and, they start out with a couple embarrassing losses early. And those things are hard to overcome, and he struggled to do that last season. But the Lions spent, gosh, I think more money than any team in the NFC, I believe. I know Detroit and Green Bay were right at the top in free agency. And no, that's not a sustainable, recipe that you want to do year in and year out. But when you're kind of starting to build this thing up with a new head coach, it can make some sense if you make some smart, and very kind of targeted purchases. Now, I haven't been as impressed just yet with, spending on someone like Trey Flowers, obviously, is when you look at what Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith are doing in Green Bay. But they did import a lot of talent, and they've still got they made a change at offensive coordinator, trying to get Matt Stafford back in his comfort zone. That is clearly working thus far. Stafford's talent has never been a doubt. It's just been, having him do it consistently, having him do it in a scheme that makes sense. And maybe last but not least, I mean, the defense has played well, but it's this offensive line. It's getting Kerryon Johnson going. They just seem to have better balance, and I think Patricia's doing a nice job coaching them right now. And again, as impressed as I've been, I mean, you knock off the Chargers and, heck, except for what a fourth quarter out in Arizona, they played really well for the most part, in general, but we'll see. Now we get to do it on a primetime stage. Now they get to do it against one of the hotter teams in the league, and, really anxious to see, what the latest incarnation of this kind of little mini rivalry looks like, here.
That game, of course, the Lions come to Green Bay Monday Night Football coming up after the weekend. You've got the Bears who are idle in the NFC North this weekend, and the Vikings host the Eagles. That game will be a Sunday game at noon. Offensively, have you been impressed by the Packers so far? I know it seemed a little disjointed at times. They did something that I don't think any of us ever thought we'd see, four touchdowns, none of those coming from Aaron Rodgers on Sunday against the Cowboys. Or do you still see a work in progress with the new head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it remains a work in progress, but, you know, hard not to be impressed by what Aaron Jones did. You know, the offensive line has seemed to play pretty well. I know they're plugging in this this new rookie guard who seems to be earning high marks and getting better by the week. So it was always going to be a work in progress on offense. But to be sitting where they are right now while they're a work in progress and to have, you know, this new look defense doing much of the heavy lifting, yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be impressed with kind of the whole product. But yes, also with the way specifically the offense is slowly coming together. And I got to be honest, I was in London. I still need to give a really close look. I was writing on deadline as that game was going on, and every 5 minutes I popped my head up because Aaron Jones scored another touchdown. But that's not exactly the way I want to watch a game sort of in depth. So I still need to get back to that one. But everything I've heard and everything I've seen thus far is that this thing is coming together quite nice. Now, guys, with Aaron Jones, as I know you know, let's see if he could do it for a full season because, you know, leads the NFL in yards per carry last year. No one doubts how dynamic and how explosive this kid is. But we do want to see if he can put it together for a full year, and especially with more on his plate. Maybe the part people aren't talking about as much, or at least not nationally, is what he's doing as a receiver, of course, especially since Devontae Adams went down. So that part's huge, too. I've always loved his talent. I just, you know, I'm very curious to see if he can sustain it and kind of be that guy for 16 games.
Arthur Arkish, we appreciate your time as always. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Again, he's on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. You're at Chuck Freeman, your name. Horvat's at Ryan Horvat, his name. I had to settle at Winks Thinks because Bart Winkler's taken. There's one tweet put out by the account.
Yeah.
April 25th, 2013. It is the latitude and longitude for Greer, South Carolina.
Well, you should work out a deal with him where you, you know, maybe Venmo him some money to get rid of his account.
I've tried. I've tweeted at him. Yeah. I've sent Twitter nasty notes.
You know what some people will do? They would lose like Bart underscore Winkler, and I think that's dumb.
Bill underscore Michaels.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that because underscore, because you're always looking on a computer. Where is the damn underscore? And then you put a slash, or you put a backslash, or you put a hyphen. It's like, man, no.
What about, could I have done the real Bart Winkler?
Could have done that.
Nah, I would have been dumb.
Why not?
I'm not a fan of that.
Oh, come on.
Well, I settled on Wings Things. Is that stupid?
No, what came you up with? What made you come up with that one?
Wings, do you remember the sports bubbler?
Yeah.
At the Journal Sentinel?
The short-lived sports bubbler, yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a column there every week.
Okay.
It was called Wings Things.
All right.
And I sometimes would fill in for the guy that that ran it, and I'd put out the daily articles. I did it all for free, but
yeah.
My column there was Wings Things.
So how did you come up with that title? Did they do that?
It was like a Larry King-type column. Where it would be like boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, but what made you come up with Winks Thinks? Did you invent that term?
Yeah, because Thinks rhymes with Winks.
Okay.
And people sometimes call me Winks.
See, I put, when Twitter first came out, I just put C Frames. And I was like, nah, that's dumb. I'm going to put my name on there.
What were your guys' original thoughts about Twitter? Because
I hated it.
I was dating
a girl.
I thought
this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because my previous partner, Mike Wicked, was so in love with Twitter, and it's like you talk about Twitter every day, and it's like, God, he was on it so much, it was like I felt like I had to get on it to keep up with the Joneses.
I didn't understand it at first. I was dating a girl.
2009.
She's in the industry. She's a news anchor, and so mm-hmm. she was really into it because, you know, she was really into it, and I was like, what is the point of it? And she's like, yeah, it's kind of like Facebook, like you tweet a status. So it'd be like, going to the gym, LOL.
Yeah.
And like that's how it started, and I was like, so you just pretty much update people like, what you're doing all day, it's just like a Facebook status. And then I realized you could get news and sports, and I was like, oh, this thing is awesome.
Well, it's kind of cultivated to that after a while, because like my first tweet ever, I was like, what I was having for dinner that night. And I was like, God, this is dumb.
Right, that's what I mean. I'm like, I don't care.
That's what Facebook is. Yeah, exactly.
It's like my aunts on Facebook.
But it involved from that to, you know, talking about giving your sports opinions or giving your opinions about news or whatever. But I, you know, I tweeted out today, I am the man.
Yeah, I just felt like,
and I got 15 retweets.
Yeah, I just tried to fight Mike Florio, but he won't budge on there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I retweeted you, bud.
Did you? Thank you.
I retweeted you. Yeah. Although you didn't put a space between I and M, so it looks like you said, I am the man.
I'm grouped.
When you put something out at 5:58 in the morning, I'm just lucky I spell man right.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll get an update from Mike Clemens here, and then we are going to talk about the Bucks preseason game last night, because I don't think Giannis knows it's the preseason the way this guy was playing.
Yeah.
We'll come on back in 3 minutes. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. An update from Mike straight ahead as well. The latest from...
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are back on the practice field, getting ready to host the Detroit Lions here at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football. In the win over the Cowboys, the Packers lost center Corey Linsley early in the game with a concussion. Lucas Patrick took over at center. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari was on the big show.
To go in that environment, being a backup center, having no idea that you're going to have to play. I mean, he stepped in. He did his preparation all week. He came in, and he was able to let us orchestrate the offense in its entirety. That's exactly what you want from a guy when he comes and steps in. You don't want the offense to miss a beat. He let us operate, not miss a beat.
Rookie Rashawn Gary filled in at outside linebacker when Za'Darius Smith had to take a break with leg cramps. Does the first-round pick feel like there's pressure on him to perform?
Man, I'm here to play ball, man. Pressure, we into the season. I'm not worried about none of that, man. Football is football. I'm here to play football and, you know, having, you know, P and Z, you know, leading the way. I'm happy to join that. And I told him I would be part of the fun. So, you know, just say something for me when I get there.
The last time the Lions played in Green Bay, they beat the Packers 31-0. Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford.
No doubt a division game against a really good football team. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. You know, Monday night will be a whole bunch of fun. We'll have some young guys that I'm sure first time playing on Monday night will remember it for a long time at Lambeau. It's pretty cool for them. Just excited to get out there and play again.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll continue this conversation after the top of the hour here, but the Bucks with the preseason game last night, it was on TV. So they've had their scrimmage. That was on Sunday. 12,000 people were there. Then they had a preseason game in Chicago on Monday, and none of the starters really played, as Budenholzer treating it sort of like a back-to-back. And then they played last night, and I don't know if everyone knew it was a preseason game, specifically Giannis. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. The Bucks win 133-99. If you stayed with it to the end, you are a better Bucks fan than I. I'll watch Frank Mason III, you know, dish it to Dragan Bender another day.
Well, I did stay to the end.
Oh.
I did. And
so you even saw Luke May minutes.
Well, and I saw Thanasis. We're going to have to learn how to pronounce that right. Giannis's brother, Thanasis. Thanasis Giannis-Adekupo. The guy is full of energy out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as long as he's near the rim, you don't want him taking 20-footers. But, you know, I was telling you the other day, well, I hope he has a nice apartment in Oshkosh because he's going to be playing for the D-League team or the G-League team up in Oshkosh. But I'm thinking maybe this guy could bring some energy from time to time off the bench and give these guys a little bit of that little spark, because he's a guy who's going to go out there when he's going to get loose balls, rebound a little bit. Maybe block a shot here and there. He looks much older than Giannis, though. And he is. He's like 27.
Right, but he looks a little older.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly tell he's the older brother.
There was one time where Giannis had the ball at the top of the key, and he looked right at the Thanasis, and he didn't pass to him.
Yeah.
And he was wide open, and then he like went the other way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, pass to your brother, man.
So
the preseason.
It's taken people 7 or 8 years to get Giannis right, and still we haven't figured it out. Now, how long if Thanasis stays around, how long is it going to take for people to get down with that? Or is he just going to be known as Giannis's brother?
I did a podcast with a guy in Philly last week to talk Sixers Bucks.
Yeah.
He kept calling him G. Giannis.
Oh, you know who
How do you still do that?
Yeah. Who was it?
Yeah.
Shame him.
Shame him.
Oh, God.
Shame him.
Coach Brown in Philadelphia was calling him Giannis for the longest time. Finally, this year, he started calling him Giannis.
I say Giannis didn't know it was a preseason game because he came out first couple possessions. I mean, it was classic Giannis attack the rim basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he needs to feel a little free because he was so clogged up in that Toronto series that he's just like, if you give me space, I'm going for it. He had his 4 foot from the rim dunks last night, 22 points total, 11 boards, 21 minutes.
And
mugging at 4-0.
He's mooning it in a preseason game. Okay, I'm watching the game last night, and yeah, it's great to have Bucks basketball back, but still, as soon as I put the game on, it took me all the way back to the Toronto Bucks series last year.
Ooh.
I can't help it. It brought me back to the disappointing end of that season. As good as the Bucks looked last night, it's just like, yeah, but they still could not beat the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, a heavily favored team they were.
Watching the game last night, I realized that maybe I'm not as excited for the Bucks season as I thought I was. And we can explain that coming up in just a couple of minutes. I'm all jacked up. I watched the preseason game, and then I think, oh, okay. I don't think I'm that excited. We'll explain what we're talking about there. 414-799-1250. As the Bucks beat the Jazz, the town is abuzz today. 133.99. More on that coming up next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.